I appreciate so much. Children, you may be dismissed to practice at Crossroads. Appreciate so much the people that do things for us, and we take so many of those things for granted. I know that we have volunteer firemen in this congregation. I know we have sheriff's deputies, and Grant's been a city police officer. And so much of what they do is thankless. And as we begin our text this morning from Luke 2, starting with verse 8. There were shepherds who were doing a boring, tedious, low-paying, low-status job keeping watch. And that's what the people, the soldiers and folks that I've just mentioned do. They keep watch because there's a lot to be afraid of. As I was given the mission of preaching this morning, I thought, peace on earth, seems to me like there's a lot of world conflict. In fact, for 2 weeks, all I've heard about is horrible things. I have students who were murdered. I taught Jessica Downey. Some of you went to school with her. There's miscarriages. There's darkness. There's insecurity. There's too much corn. There is much to be depressed about and fearful of. And yet, the question I kept asking myself is, according to this text, is peace God's will for His creation? Is peace God's will for your life? No one can do the hard thinking for you. Did you notice a mom pointing out so her daughter didn't get lost as they sang? We need coaching to keep from getting lost and being confused as we go about our life. We need coaching, and that's what Jesus came to earth for. As we look at this passage, I just want to point some things out because I believe that God's will for you is that you experience His peace, which is beyond comprehension, in the darkest of times, when you're most confused, when you're lost. I hope that you, if anything good happens today, if you hear God speaking to you, if you make a decision today, I want you to know it's because God spoke to you, not Doug Reynolds. It's because passing before the screen of your mind were thoughts and ideas and pictures. Like that mom coaching her daughter to help her keep her place. The Holy Spirit brings thoughts into your mind. People can say things and you can hear something totally different, can't you? How many have misunderstood somebody and it was really bad? It was really bad. But we can hear things that didn't come from the people speaking it to. The Lord speaks to His people. The Lord speaks to people because God came to earth. So as we look at this passage, the Amplified Version has lots of different words that the Greek could have meant to the people in that day. And so this is a way for lay people, ordinary people, to read the Bible and to glean from what the Greek scholars would know in a simple way. So in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So they were keeping watch. They were watch keepers. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord flashed, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." So, based on that there, I think we can conclude that God came to ordinary people, shepherds, no status. He came during the dark, depressed time, and He revealed Himself. He flashed before their eyes. And here's what the angel said. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So as I chewed on that chunk of scripture right there, I thought to myself, so God revealed himself in the darkness to ordinary people. And he said to these people, everybody is worth saving. The good news will be for all people. There are no deplorable, hopeless causes. If you think you've messed up so badly that God wouldn't want to save you, you're wrong. I read right here, great joy will come to all people, and that includes all of us. That's good news. I also see here that God identified with the human condition by coming as a baby. He identified with the same stuff that ordinary people have to deal with. This summer, I have finished drywall on 5 houses. I tried to calculate over 200 4x8 sheets of drywall. That's a lot of nasty, boring, tedious, thankless work. And you never appreciate your drywall. I mean, somebody had to climb up there and sand off the rough spots. We usually talk about the painting. Well, until something doesn't look right. If it looks right, you don't appreciate what was done. Just like those watchmen and those volunteer firemen. They keep watch when your house catches fire. God came to earth. He identified what you and I go through by coming as a human being. And he said, there will be a sign where you can recognize him. So the question that I ask, well, if I don't hear God speaking to me, what's that say about me? If this is true, why don't I hear God talking? So one of the things that, as I looked, in verse 14, let's go to our next slide. Or 13. Then suddenly there appeared to the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is well pleased. And when the angels had gone away, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us. Does God still speak to his people? The key phrase is in verse 14 there, and when we sing the words, let there be peace on earth, goodwill toward men, the Greek had several different renderings for the last part of that. Men, and that meant all people. It's a generic form for human beings, okay? It wasn't just men. Peace on earth, good with whom he is well pleased. That's the part I want us to focus in. If you're not experiencing peace in your life, maybe you're not trying to please God with the way you go about your business. If you're not experiencing joy in your life, maybe you're focusing on the wrong things. Maybe glory to God is not the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning, or if you're finishing drywall. Maybe that's not what you're thinking about. And so the question is, let's look at this for a minute. What does it mean to experience God's peace and be a person who pleases God with their life? First thing is, whose approval are you seeking? Who is it you're trying to impress? I always think about those gifts that you've gotten over the years, and I'm thinking, I must not be very important. You gave me a fruitcake? I mean, come on, a fruit? Nobody likes fruitcake. You know, we have a thing in our family. We re-gift. We get a gift we don't like. We pass it on to somebody else. Well, what are they supposed to think about that? This idea of bringing glory to God, this means wanting God to feel like you matter to Him. And so the question you have to ask yourself is, am I doing what I'm doing because I want to honor God with the way I do it? Do I care more about how much I'm going to make for that drywall or what this home will become over the years for some precious people who grow up knowing they're loved and they're cared about and they're safe and they're secure? I could go off on so many rants, but I just want to say, you need to think about why you're doing what you're doing and who you're doing it for. Because God knows you. God in heaven is so much greater. His wisdom is so much deeper than ours. He looks to our very thoughts and he knows what we're trying to do. I am constantly getting jumped on by my family for not saying things well. It doesn't make me feel very confident to stand up in front of you because I may say it backwards, and, you know, it's for all those times when we want to say the right thing so badly and it comes out backwards. And I know I'm not the only one. But God knows what we're thinking and why we're doing it, and He gets it. And that's the best reason of all. To you, God says, peace, joy. Before we look at what that means, peace, in just a minute, I want us to say that loving somebody is hard work. Loving somebody is hard work. Jesus said, if you loved me, you'd obey me. If you loved me, you'd do what I ask you to do. And so, peace, if you're not experiencing peace in your life today, you need to stop for a second and ask yourself, God, is there anything that you've made it clear to me I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing? And change. Go a different direction. You want to fix that. Do you want peace? So that's what we're looking at today. Honestly, you and I both know that a great number of the people that we live and work with are all about themselves. They're all consumed about me and my comfort and my ego. And if they're not experiencing peace, it's probably clearer to their friends than it is to them. But that's what glory to God in the highest means. I read that Bach wrote 256, not songs, but cantatas. That means musicals. We used to perform musicals on a big stage, and we had a lot of great harmony when we would do those cantatas. But history says that when Bach would start with a clean sheet of paper, he would write at the beginning of his paper, God help me. So his songs were first prayers. But at the end, he closed them with, to the glory of God alone. In Latin, that's SDG. I took Latin 1. I passed it because my teacher said, the only way I'm going to give you something besides an F is if you promise not to take Latin 2. Anybody ever have Latin? Oh, I hate Latin. Somebody else experienced that. So I'm not going to read Solo Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. But here's the picture I have in my mind. I wish we had a mechanic or two here today, because this all in, Mark Batterson and all in, he said, just imagine a mechanic working on your muffler, and when he finished the job, he wrote SDG, for the glory of God alone. And his point was, God sees the work I did. God knows I tried. Have you ever used that phrase? Have you heard somebody say that? God knows I tried. We usually say that when things don't work out, like we hope they would. But God does know how hard you try. Imagine if everything you did, the meals you cooked, the people you tried to help, the gifts you gave with the right attitude, imagine if you did it knowing that God knows and He's proud of you. If God needed a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. That's how He feels about you. Imagine every detail of our life. Let's go to our, in your bulletin. The first point would be, we can carry out the details of our lives in a way that makes God proud. And we can, I'm looking at a lineman back there that made my day when he hooked underground power up to my house. And you'll never know how grateful I was. But there's stuff we're not capable of controlling how life goes. We don't have what it takes to live the great adventure that God has dreamed for us. Young people, listen to me. You don't have what it takes to live and to complete all God has in His mind for you. And I have lived a great adventure. And my kids are like doubling it, it feels like. But we can trust the one who can control our future. And we can live today to His glory. And we can give Him credit for what gets done. It's not what you do, it's why you do it and who you do it for that brings glory to God. You do that and you're going to begin experiencing peace and joy and a family that you wish you always had. So as we move on, the next question would be, well, if God still speaks, why is He not speaking to me? And in letter B of the first point, Dallas Willard, in the book Hearing God, said, you would expect two people that know each other and care about each other to communicate, would you not? He said, when you're involved in a common enterprise, you're working together to accomplish something, you have to talk together. Now, I question if you're not sensing God is speaking peace into your life, are you working very hard to know Him? Are you caring about the things He cares about? Are you involved in the things that God planned for you to be involved in? Are you investing yourself in the things that God is investing in? Or do you think you're too old? Or you think you can't see well enough? Or you think your arthritis is holding you back? Or do you think you're too young? Crippled. I don't know what your excuse might be, the stage of life I'm in. The question is, am I in love with the things and the people that God loves? And that changes your priorities. That changes your lifestyle. Am I taking time to listen to God? Many people believe that Jesus is God's son. They believe this story. What they don't want is they don't want to arrange their life. They don't want to be a disciple. They are a believer, but they don't want to be a disciple. They don't want to be a student of God. They don't want to take the time to listen. In our household, we have this phrase, I just need some space. How many of you use that phrase in your household? I just need some space. Give me some space, will you? Sometimes, you know, some people, not in my household, but we say, back off. I need some space. All right, it's the back off part you hear first. Typically, that means I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But it doesn't make sense to me that if two normal, ordinary people who know and care about each other talk, why would God in heaven not want to communicate his coaching to you so you can negotiate life? So the next thing that I want to say is that God does speak, and he does want you to experience peace. And when you experience peace, that's a supernatural experience. That's something you can't control on your own. Because we know the wheels fall off all the time, don't they? When we most want to give the perfect gift, to have the perfect Christmas, you know, somebody gets the flu or something, or you get, you know, stuff doesn't work, go right. But when we are listening to God and we're investing in the things that he cares about, he gives us insights for living. He gives us inside information on how to listen better. Have you ever noticed that the people who listen the best are heard so much more clearly? If people feel like you're listening to them, the next thing you say after you've heard them out, they listen to. Maybe the reason that our relationships are broken and dysfunctional and we find ourselves embroiled in disharmony so much is we're not listening, or we're not applying the insights, or we don't love enough to listen. So it takes an adjustment of our lifestyle to experience what God wants us to know and to say. So I want to look now at what we might do to hear a little bit more clearly. Or let me put it this way. This is how I do it. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that I want to say is you should expect when you open the scripture, and I hope you all do that, when you wake up in the morning, read your mail. Read what God wrote in the Bible as if it was to you. Take it personally. So when you wake up, expect to hear something important, something helpful, something strategic that God has to say. Put your listening ears on, okay? The second thing is, don't try to take a big chunk of what he's saying. Try to look at a classic portion of Scripture and digest it. I have been seriously overeating lately. I mean, too much food. And sometimes I wish I wouldn't have done that, and I feel like my stomach is having a really hard time with it. When you digest things well, what you do is you bite it into smaller pieces. You take smaller amounts, and as you begin to absorb it, it goes in different forms to different parts of your body, and almost all of that you're not aware of. I would say that when you are trying to listen to God speaking to you through his word, it's going in. You don't know where it's going to. But the Holy Spirit promises to help you remember it at the time you need it most. The Holy Spirit, just like this mom pointing out, we don't get lost. The Holy Spirit can use those things. We've taken it upon ourselves to plant in our minds, to have it go before our screen. Memorizing scripture is a really good way to have that handy. All right? I don't know very many people that try to memorize scripture anymore. I'm trying it. It's really hard. I get so many verses in and I start thinking about something else. That's okay, because that's exactly what I'm supposed to be thinking about, I think. Okay, so one idea is to look and chew and try to absorb and digest Scripture with the whole idea that God's trying to say something to you. Peace of God is inseparable from his presence. God shows up in your life, in the details of your life. He shows up in your face shows up in your tone of voice, shows up in your eyes. When you have the love and the hope and the wisdom and the truth of God working in your soul looks joyful. In fact, when you're experiencing God's peace, people like to hang around with you. Have you noticed? You don't want to... You want to be relaxing with a relaxed person. That's what's so hard for me about Christmas. Isn't this supposed to be a joyful season? Why is everybody so wound tightly? Why are we so stressed out about? I just am desperate to have the right Christmas gift 2 days before Christmas. I mean, it's really a stressful time. Now, and a more intelligent person, I see you ladies really smiling right now because you work 6 weeks ahead, I know, or longer. The idea of God's presence being with you is something we work out over a lifetime. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. 40 years. I'm a slow learner. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. When you read, take it personally. God has no intention of giving you the silent treatment. In fact, to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, would be better described as a conversational relationship with God. As we come to the end here, the idea of having your eyes opened to what's going on around you. I made a horrible statement one time. It seems lots sillier as I think about it right now. I told this woman who was about my age, and we were embroiled in a conflict over youth leadership, that she was out of touch with reality. Remember, Clara? Oh, my goodness. I'm so embarrassed now when I think about that. It's like, I know what reality is, and you don't. What an idiot. Oh, my goodness. We don't know what's really going on. We think we know what is going on. What's Lynn Nielsen say all the time? You don't know their story. No, we don't. We don't know reality. We only know what we can see through our little telescope. And there's so much going on. Why should you read God's Word? Because you don't know what's going on. All you can do is sit and try to learn and receive His coaching. And then, for the glory of God, give it your best shot. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. As I look here at this passage, I realize how blind I have been to the work that God's up to because I never stopped to thank Him. Can we go to the 18 through 20 verses of the scripture? Hey, Deanna is a really awesome person. You have no idea how together she makes our staff look and all the unsung details. So these shepherds responded. They went and found everything just as the angel said they would. When they'd seen this, they made known what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were astounded and wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these things, giving careful thought to them and pondering them in her heart. That's where I got this idea about digesting. She was probably a teenage girl. She didn't know the father of her child. What sense was she to make of this in a strange country? And here she was in not even a barn. With her baby laying in a manger. You know, it wasn't the manger that mattered. It wasn't the manger that mattered. It was the glory of God that shone from it. In the last, we read, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it has been told to them. I have some challenge steps that I've put here that I would like us to begin the conversation. By the way, that's what we call prayer. There's supposed to be as much listening as they're talking. Begin the conversation with God with an open and humble and thankful heart. So this is my challenge to you as we end today. I hope great things come of it, but we have to respond like the shepherds responded in obedience. So I would like for you to ask somebody else to hold you accountable for the next 40 days for taking steps 1 through 4. So the Great Commission was going to make friends and tell them about your friendship with God. I would like you to make a friend, take someone you trust, and ask them to hold you accountable for doing this. So here's what this is. Take a chunk of scripture. We have a devotional, Peace with God, an Advent devotional. That's an idea. There's also classic passages of scriptures. But the thing is, don't try to read through the Bible in a year. That's an impossible job description, really, and digest it all. So take a chunk of scripture, and as you read it, take it personally. Like, God was talking to you. It was your mail you were reading. Respond in childlike trust to whatever you hear God saying to you through that. That's simple enough. Then tell 2 other people as you begin to experience His peace and ask them to join you. It's our default mode is to complain and whine and gripe and be angry. I have been so convicted of how I've, between my ears, no matter what it seemed like out front, how much time angrily whining and complaining to God who's been so good to me. So I started keeping a list of things that I was thankful for. And it's become a lifestyle, honestly. In fact, I hope when you're around me these days, you hear me saying what I'm grateful for. And you hear a lot less complaining. But it's people think you're from another planet if you don't complain right along with them. But tell 2 other people what you've experienced of His peace and ask them to join you. And make a list of evidence of God's goodness at work in your life. Julie doesn't know this, but I spent $300 on a little book called Seeing God's Favor and Goodness in Your Life. And I gave all but 5 or 10 of them away. And here's the reason I did that. It wasn't that big a deal as far as the book. Somebody gave it to me first. How are our children? For those of you who are visiting our congregation today, I taught 5th grade for 30-some years here in this community. I came here to work with this congregation by the grace of God. And this weekend, 100 guys are in the woods over in Camp Ileana, and 6 of them played basketball for me. And we're in my classroom. You know that muffler? I'm horrible with mufflers. I've used duct tape on a muffler. That's how stupid I am. You can't duct tape a muffler. But what you do, the details of your life, the prayers you pray, the hope you send out, the good you try to do, God honors. And you can go to sleep at night with a clear conscience saying, God, I did the best I knew how for Your glory. Except for, and then you can ask Him to forgive you. But you try that and you tell me you won't experience His peace. In fact, like I'm experiencing right now, when one of my ball players nearly tackled me, you experience joy. What you do matters. This scripture today says you're worth saving. You matter to me, and I've got a great plan for your life. One day at a time, trust me. Listen. Be still and know I'm God and I've got skills and abilities you never dreamed of. He knows reality, we don't. The question isn't, does God still speak peace to his people who are trying to please him? The question is, will you slow down and stop long enough to listen and respond? If a shepherd can do it, we can do it. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you not for what's going to happen over the next 40 days. I thank you for those people that truly want to experience peace with you. They want to quit fighting. They want to stop doing that. Those things that are blocking them from having a relationship with you. I pray, Heavenly Father, and I thank you in advance for the ways you're going to show up, not only in people's minds and hearts, but also in their daily details of their life. I pray, Heavenly Father, you would open our eyes to your goodness, your blessings, your favor. And we would teach our children that you are a good God and we can love and trust you. And everywhere they look, they'll see evidence of your goodness. Truly, Lord, there is much dysfunction and darkness. There is much to grieve in our world. But how are people going to see unless we are the light? And unless we are friends with you. Oh, dear God, if there's anybody here who does not know you as their friend, who has not accepted forgiveness and grace and asks you to come in, and they're beginning to learn and be a disciple of yours, I pray, Lord, they'll talk to me after the service. I pray, dear God, they will pray with me at the altar. I pray, dear Father, that our families, our church family, our community, begin to be one and experience love and harmony, joy and peace to the glory of God. I just thank you for all that you're about to do and for all you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.